Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
So now Sly with a 48-yard attempt. Now the kick is blocked. So the Seahawks with excellent defense and now getting the job done on special teams with just under 4 minutes remaining.
That was the blocked field goal, a 48-yard field goal late in the fourth quarter, which turned the ball back over to Seattle. Did they score in that drive next to tie it up after the blocked field goal? Yes, that did set them up. Then the Patriots got the ball back. Took about all of 12 seconds to run three plays, two incomplete passes and one completed pass. And then Seattle got the ball back with, I think, about 20 seconds left on their 20-yard line. And I thought that they were going to try to get it to midfield and at least throw a Hail Mary or see if they could have a long field goal attempt. They didn't. And then in the end, in overtime, once again, Patriots, a veritable three and out, followed by a long, sustained, soul-sucking drive by the Seahawks, 23-20, your final. The Seahawks do not cover, depending on when, how, or if you got your line. It did open at 3.5. I think I saw it move to 3, so that could have been a push. It wasn't over, surprisingly. Over-under opened at 37.5, moved up to 38.5, and finished with a total of 43. I predicted on Six Rings podcast this week, Andy, 23-20, the final, just the wrong way. So, no credit for me, no soup for Fitzy.
No, but I took Seattle by 3 and took the 3.5 with the Patriots, so I nailed it.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Yeah, the blocked field goal. Now, how did, like, that safety, Love is his name, correct? We heard about him.
Julian Love.
We heard about him this week from our friend Dan Veans on the Seahawks Forever podcast when he joined us for our Behind Enemy Lines preview on the Six Rings podcast. And he said, watch out for this guy. He can be a game changer. They got him last year, didn't live up to the reputation, but now under Coach Mike McDonald, the former coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens and now rookie head coach for the 2-0 Seattle Seahawks, he seems to really get it in becoming on. And he was a factor and a force today, Andy. Definitely one of the, if we were putting up our thumbs up, thumbs down for the Hawks. Obviously, Smith and Jigba, Geno Smith, DK Metcalf would all be on your thumbs up list, but so would Love, the safety for the Seahawks.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's a team that I think defensively has some talent. Witherspoon was frustrated, it seems, at times, but he's a physical athlete. They got Murphy up front. They got some guys up front, Mafi. Like, they, with a defensive-minded coach like McDonald, I think they're going to play some good defense in the very near future in Seattle, which obviously was their bread and butter for a long time, something they were kind of built on. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what he does offensively, because I didn't think he was great managing his team in this game.
But he's got more talent, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's got a veteran quarterback that has probably a little bit more upside in the passing game. I mean, the guy's been a Pro Bowler, what, the last 2 years? Geno Smith? Not that
they
Pro
They still
Bowl
haven't written back, damn it.
No, that's right. And the Patriots couldn't make any writing of the back. So when you give a... by the way, did you see some victory laps going on about, Christian Gonzalez is awesome. Christian Gonzalez, because we're getting the breakdowns of the routes that he actually covered, DK. And I'm sorry, but anyone on this Patriots pass defense or any fan of this team, like that ML football account that I finally had to mute because they're obnoxious and they make you look objective, as I just put on Twitter, embarrassingly so.
What are you talking about? Who?
That ML football account. It's one of the aggregators. It's one of your super fan people. It's clearly New England-based. All he does is aggregate Tom Brady notes about how great Tom Brady is or stupid crap about the Patriots now with a very over-the-top positive slant. I've had enough. He tags me in everyone. I get all the stupid replies, and I have to mute the conversation. Now I've just muted him. Hopefully I never see it again. It's a waste of my time, and I don't have time for that. Anyway, He was taking a victory lap today about how good Christian Gonzalez has been and what he's done in his six games in the NFL. Anybody that takes any kind of victory lap related to the Patriots pass defense, they gave up 327 yards passing and two wide receivers who each had double-digit catches and over 100 yards receiving as Geno Smith torched you. There are no victory laps to be had. I don't care who was in what coverage at what time on any given play. The pass defense was not good.
I don't understand where Gonzalez. Okay, so here we go. According to Next Gen Stats, Christian Gonzalez, this also sourced out by an aggregator, our friend Carlos from Los Talks Pats, who is a regular guest, viewer and listener of Six Rings. According to Next Gen Stats, Christian Gonzalez shadowed DK Metcalf, aligning across from him on 36 of 44 routes, 82% of those routes, with just six of those routes in press coverage, 17%. Metcalf targeted seven times against Gonzo, coming away with just three receptions for 24 yards. Metcalf caught all seven of his targets against other defenders. Okay, so Gonzo did well when in press coverage today against...
So are we saying Gonzo didn't give up completions today? He also had a terrible tackle on the sideline where he dove at somebody's ankles and allowed them to fall forward for a first down. So, like, if we're going to...
Oh, that was on the Seattle go-ahead drive for Charbonnet.
Right.
It was an embarrassing effort. Wrap the guy up and treat it like Jonathan Jones would treat it and actually try to prevent the first down. Mm-hmm. See, this is starting to piss me off. Do I think he's a good young player?
Yes.
But we're putting him in effing Canton when the defense gave up two 100. You're telling me he had nothing to do with poor pass defense today. How is that possible?
Yeah, Smith and Jigma and DK must have just had 250 yards receiving total against Alex Austin and Marco Jones.
I mean, can we just stop? The kid is... what did his mother's T-shirt say? He's good?
Marco Wilson, Marco Jones, whatever. Marcus Jones played pretty well.
What did Christian Gonzalez's mother's T-shirt say?
Christian Gonzalez is good.
Thank you. Didn't say great. Didn't say is the second coming combined of Darrell Revis, Stephon Gilmore, and Deion Sanders. It said he's good. He is
correct.
Good. And good is good enough six games into his NFL career. Why do we have to inflate it and try to make it more than it is? He is a cornerstone of this team. I think we all think he is going to be much better in a month, much better at the end of the season, much better moving forward, and a key part of this team. But we need to pretend that he's something he's not right now. It's okay. Good is good enough right now for him and this team.
This is, as Devin McCourty told us when we spoke with him a few weeks ago previewing the season, remember, this is still his rookie year. He played three games and a quarter last year. That's it. And he's had some preseason action. He has yet to even play a half of an NFL season. If you were to look at the lump sum total of everything he's played to date, you would say, hey, this kid looks good. Looks like the Patriots hit that first-round draft pick, unlike Emmanuel Forbes, who the Commanders took right before that. Thank you, Washington. He's good. He may one day soon be very good, or he may almost already be very good. And perhaps with more seasoning, play time, and reps, one of the things we want to watch grow and foster this season, maybe he will be elite. Maybe he will be in the upper echelon, the top
tier. No, he's the best cornerback in the NFL, according to
Twitter. Enough. Jeez, are they building a statue of him? Is that what they're laying the foundation for out in front of the plaza, in front of Gillette Stadium? Come on, everybody.
We used to know what greatness was around here. Now we pretend we know what greatness is. And that's an embarrassing fall for you people.
All right, here we go. All right, Joe, mark down 6 o'clock hour is the official you people hour.
All right, he said it before more in a positive manner. This is the first negative.
This is the first negative. I see where we've spun it now. But the text line is having fun now. We'll get to those in a few minutes. Quick call, and then we'll trend. We'll come back, and you get all the audio you need from the post game, folks. Rob is up in Maine. Rob, save us.
Us people, we got to believe in Christian Gonzalez because we got nothing else. All right,
That is a great
all
response.
All smoke and mirrors. And I was driving the tank train. I was saying, fire Bill Belichick last year. Let us be horrible for a couple of years. Let us rebuild. The defense is good enough that it might screw me over on my hopes because the defense looks good. But unless the offense is in a one-score game, they got no chance. They're not throwing deep. They're not making any wow plays on offense. All they can do is pound the rock. And I respect Jared Mayo for trying to do it. And, you know, he might be a great coach and get me the 6-10 that gets us a bad pick, or 6-11 that gets us a bad pick. But if you're going to suck, just suck, you know?
Might be a new T-shirt right there. Thank you very
Love
much
it.
For the call, Rob.
Fitzy, if you make those T-shirts, I will take an XL, please.
Okay. So I'm currently wearing the one I had custom made for the day. Take them to the hill. Unfortunately, it feels what was taken to the hill was my joy late in the game as the Patriots faltered and lost 23-20. But still, they have the take them to the hill mentality. They'll hang in there. These guys are grinders. New England, they made you proud today. We're not going to sit here and tell you that they're doing a sneaky tank, that they're not even trying to win, that this is some covert ruse to make you think they're trying and they're not. No. We know football. We've watched a lot of football. This team is trying. They're not great yet by any stretch.
No.
They're not even really very good.
No.
But they try hard, and we love, well, I'll speak for myself. I love a good try hard, Andy. 617-779-7937. Here's your telephone. Not rigged. All right. Mute his mic. Go screw. All right. Blow it out your hat, and then let's give you some trending sports news from Joe Braverman. We'll come back. We'll hear from the coach. Let's go.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Patriots are now 1-1 in their first two games as they fell in their home opener to the Seahawks, 23-20 in overtime. Seattle came back in the fourth and tied it with a Jason Myers 38-yard field goal that did follow a blocked field goal from Julian Love for Seattle. Myers then went on and won it in overtime with a 31-yarder. Jacoby Brissett on the day finished 15-27 for 149 yards and a touchdown, his first of the season and the first in the career of receiver Jalen Polk. It'll be a short week for New England as they have a quick turnaround to face the Jets on Thursday Night Football. That game is from MetLife Stadium and kicks off around 8 o'clock. Some other scores going on in the NFL for Week 2. The Raiders pulled off the upset over the Ravens 26-23. That pushes Baltimore to 0-2. The Vikings also had an upset, this one over the 49ers 23-17. The Saints crushed the Cowboys 44-19. And from games going on in progress right now, the Chiefs, I believe, just got into the end zone. An extra point will put them ahead of the Bengals, 17-16. The Sunday slate of games wraps up tonight with the Texans taking on the Bears. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of Sunday Night Football right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM. Their coverage starts at 7:30 following the Six Rings postgame show. Red Sox fell in their series finale to the Yankees 5-2. Your final score. The Sox will have the day off tomorrow before starting a three-game set in Tampa with the Rays beginning Tuesday night. During today's broadcast, our own Joe Castiglione announced that he will retire from the broadcast booth at the end of this season. This is currently his 42nd season. He will, however, be a part-time announcer in 2025. And Boston College football fell out of the AP Top 25 after the Eagles' 27-21 loss to now 7th-ranked Missouri yesterday. Next up for the Eagles, they host Michigan State on Saturday night from Chestnut Hill. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Second and goal to the end zone. Touchdown. Jalen Polk, the rookie out of Washington.
Nice job, Jacoby Brissett. Look at all the time that he has in the pocket. Offensive line doing a great job protecting, giving him time, and Jalen Polk coming from the slot, going across his face so he could see him right there wide open. Nice execution offensively by the Patriots.
It was at that moment in time we thought, hey, look at this. A downfield passing attack. That was a freaking laser. 10 yards into the end zone. Back, Jalen Polk, wide open, touchdown. Holy smokes, they've improved from last week. Hey, Jacoby stepping up. Hey, Polk was open a lot last week, as Gerard Mayo said. They need to get him the ball. And we were duped into thinking the Patriots would have a pass-heavy attack today, a successful pass-heavy attack. That was one of three wide receiver catches on the game. Period.
Yeah, I'm not sure that qualifies as a downfield attack.
Well, it was a forward. Andy, I got excited. It was a forward pass, for God's sakes.
It would, and the thing about it to me was it just looked normal, good,
yeah,
simple, you know, effective, productive. I don't know, whatever words you want to use that are positive. He was open. The quarterback saw him. He was cross. Boom, I'm going to throw it to you. It's really not supposed to be that hard. For example, during the break, I don't know if you happened to catch the Chiefs game where they had a big man touchdown, but they were on a goal-to-go play, and they had two guys wide open.
But a big guy touchdown?
Oh, yeah. Number 64. I forgot his name, but number 64. Fat guy for the Chiefs, baby.
Oh, I love a good fat guy touchdown.
Yep. You know who doesn't?
Who?
Probably Patriots wide receivers that are like, now we got guards making fun of us and tackles because they catch more passes than we do.
Come on, show some respect to Wanye Morris, who scored it for the Chiefs.
Wanye Morris? Is that what
Wanye Morris. He's got all the time in the world back there to do research and find names.
Wanye Morris. How do you spell Wanye?
Try it with a J.
Wanya is Wanya. how it's spelled. W-A-N-Y-A.
And Tuya is his brother.
And Hushya is what I'm going to ask you to do right now. Texter in the 508, Pat's pass D did not, in fact, have a good game. The internet needs to protect their guys. Geno Smith threw for over 300 yards. I mean, I kind of can't disagree with that.
Those are facts.
Just facts. The stats back up the final result, the final score, the end of the game. When Seattle needed to make plays, they threw the ball. They threw the ball on the Patriots a lot in the second half. I know you could say, scoreboard! They only scored 3 points in the second half, and only three in overtime as well. Yeah, but when they needed to make, there were a lot of drops. Conveniently, we're forgetting that there were a lot of drops by Seattle as well.
Fitzgerald. They yes. are going to kick you out of the You People group if you keep talking that.
I'm going to get kicked out of my club, the club that I inadvertently started?
Yep, you started the You People club, but the club could turn on you. You got to be careful being objective and stuff. I almost said something else.
Well, it's after six. You probably could have gotten away with it.
I don't think so.
All right, one more call before we hear from Mayo and Brissett. Spee is all the way out in Fresno, California. Yay, Spee. Thanks for tuning in on the Odyssey app, Spee.
Hey, thanks for having me. And, you know, Fred's listening. I'm going to get in trouble, but that's fine.
Spee, old Fred.
Hey, you know me. That was pretty ugly and uncoordinated toward the end of the game and, you know, in crunch time. But Fitzy, you just kind of hit on something important. Now, like, how many balls the Seattle receivers dropped? So they have a receiving core and we don't, but their talent was enough to overcome the drops. I don't know where Pop Douglas is. The Patriots lost the game. Seattle won it. Both of those things happened. I wanted to ask you guys about the refs. So that pass interference call, I think it was with Lockett receiving, right, that led to their touchdown. And that ball was not catchable. But then on the subsequent drive, there's these two penalties against Witherspoon. It just seems that those were bad calls, too.
Yep.
It seems like the refs left their fingerprint on what was happening in a really, really stupid and annoying way. It's exactly what I hate to see them do. Again, the Patriots lost the game. I'm not blaming the refs, but that was ridiculous.
The problem, Spee,
thank you for the call, Spee.
The Patriots, in 2 weeks in a row, have played kind of tight games. Their style of football. And their style of football is going to make you pay attention to the crappy refs. Old Patriot games, there was plenty of crappy football refereeing a lot of times, but when you're up by three scores or down by three scores, the opponent, it's hard to bitch about the refs in those situations. Mm-hmm. If we're going to be watching competitive, down-to-the-wire, field goal, one score, overtime-type games, it's going to put more attention on the referees, and I think the referees generally stink. And as Spee said, both ways they made questionable calls, curious calls. I see people bitching in other games about pass interference calls, and that's the problem. When you have three-point games, everybody is fixating on every single play. And when people are fixating, that is bad for the referees because they are bad at their jobs.
Yeah, we don't need to be paying more attention to or scrutinizing the referees any further because they're not. It's a thankless position, by and large.
True.
It's incredibly difficult, increasingly difficult.
True.
And I'm with the old former coach on this one. Either make everything reviewable or nothing should be reviewable at this point now.
Yep. Like,
all over the field. If you're going to open up the Pandora's box of replay, if you're going to squeeze that toothpaste out, then you best go all the way because you can't put that back in the tube at this point. But to be half measure about it and not make everything from penalties and other calls on the sideline in the end zone reviewable, then you're just asking for trouble and you're asking for second guessing and you're asking for angry tweets and you're asking for disgruntled fans and you're asking for, these tumultuous radio shows and just an unsettled nature to the consumption and appreciation of the NFL game. So,
and the problem is when you have a bad broadcast crew, one of these C or D crews, I've always been told they don't have as many cameras or as good of cameras, and I think that was on display today. There was the DK Metcalf hurdle, Jonathan Jones go out of bounds. Is it a first down? Is it not a first down? Fox only showed like one angle that didn't really help.
That's all they really had.
Well, exactly. And therefore, if you're, or Ramondre Stevenson, when he fumbled on the goal line and they showed like an end zone view and he clearly fumbled, the ball was not in his possession. It was floating through the air. And then they didn't give me any side views, alternate angles to see who recovered it. How did it get recovered? Whose ball is it? Where is it? And I think in your world, if you review, make everything reviewable, these bad games still get screwed because there's not many camera angles, and you might, it might be a true error that you can't get fixed. So I my eyes were really open today to how bad that game was from a Fox perspective. The announcers, the replays, the angles, the knowledge. They were reviewing the, I think it was the Metcalf one. They were reviewing the spot on that for like a minute and a half before anybody on Fox had any idea what the hell. They thought it was a regular timeout until they showed the ref with the little box staring into it. And that's when they they were horrific.
And Gerard calls that timeout.
Gerard.
Wiggy was like, finally, people saying it right.
I knew I was right. See, I told you. Speaking of Gerard, we should probably hear from the head
Ramondo
coach now.
Stevenson.
Yep, old Ramondo. And you know, Ramondo, I'm not going to put those two fumbles on him, even though, you know, yes, he's the one who did drop the ball in consecutive weeks. However, considering the way the poor guy is getting used, abused, and run into the ground and is basically the offense now, thank goodness they haven't lost any of those. And they've been, you know, he's fumbled, but they haven't lost the fumbles. So hopefully that keeps up, but you know, it isn't losing any more of the fumbles. But
look, nope, he's due.
If they keep using him up like this, he's going to be due. So I don't know if they're going to have to just put a little less wear and tear on him, or if he's going to work on ball security or whatever. But eventually, those breaks will not go your way. I agree with you 100% on that. All right, to the aforementioned Gerard Mayo, if you will, let's hear from the coach in his post-game remarks about the need to drive the ball down the field, time management, and what happened in winning, or sadly, what became losing time for the Patriots today against the Hawks.
Look, I told the team, it's a Wednesday in our world. We had to be ready to change the page and move on and get ready to win this next football game. This is NFL football. You know, it's one play here, one play there. You just never know which play it is. And, you know, it's easiest to try to pick out some plays here and there, but it's all of us. We have to get better as a team and look forward to getting back on the practice field, getting better.
Gerard, how much do you learn from this one? You know, you had the blocked field goal, which certainly cost you some points, and then they came and got a field goal. And then at the end, you know, the 47-yard run set you guys up nicely. Kind of a lot of little things. How much do you learn from a game
like this? That's a great question. That's part of my message. It's all about the details. If we get the little things right, the big things will take care of themselves. And we just didn't take care of the little things, and we weren't as detailed, well, I should say, on top of our P's and Q's like we should have been. Which is my responsibility. And look, I take 100% responsibility. And, you know, look, these guys, I will say this. Like, this is a tough football team. No matter what's said outside this building, and I told these guys that as well. Look, we're a tough football team, not only physically, but also mentally. I appreciate their effort. Just wasn't enough today.
Gerard, you've mentioned that this is clearly a tough football team, but in seeing today's game, the limited passing attack, only three completions to receivers, do you think at all today's game showed the limitations you guys have right now on offense?
No, I'm not sure. You know, each team is going to try to attack us different ways. Well, we definitely have to start to get the ball down the field. We got to start pushing the ball down the field to, you know, to get that shell defense, shell defense, and we got to be able to run, we got to be able to pass. We just got to go be able to ping pong between the two. It's something that we need to work on. That's what I would say.
Gerard, on the third and one there, Tyquan's in the backfield, unbalanced line. You talk about being a tough physical football team. Did you get too cute there?
That's all on us. That's us. That's on us as coaches. I don't put anything on the player. Look, he was in there at times. He had to report. Then he played some tackle, and there was some confusion. But once again, there was no receiver outside of him. And so that's our fault, 100%.
But from a mentality standpoint, Gerard, just kind of like – trying to drive the ball down people's throat, and in that case felt like tried to do something I don't know, fancy might be the wrong word, but.
No, I don't think we tried to do anything fancy. I think we tried to, you know, run the plays that we felt pretty comfortable with going into the game, and then at halftime made some adjustments. And look, this isn't a fancy football team. This is one of those teams, whether we throw it or run it, that we just had to be a tough football team, but at the same time have to be smart. And we have to be able to go out there and line up and be mentally tough on a down-after-down basis.
Hey, Gerard, how much consideration did you guys have for going for it on fourth and one in overtime?
I would say there's some consideration. There's always consideration in those weird spots, especially when you get in the plus side of the field. I did what I thought was best.
And then with Okorafor leaving the team, did that surprise you at all? How would you describe your conversations with him?
I would say, I had a conversation with Chooks, and it had nothing to do with football. It had everything to do with just checking on him as a man. It was a good conversation. We'll see what happens tomorrow.
Josh Brogadier.
Gerard, what worked very well for you guys in Cincinnati was not giving up the big play. And today, Metcalf had that catch in the first, and obviously the blocked field goal. Was that the difference in the game?
Those were two huge plays. And look, that's on us. It's at times, you know, we want to be aggressive, and they caught a good play, and they hit it down the sideline.
Gerard, your final nine plays offensively, just 11 yards. What happened with the execution there late in the game?
Just wasn't good enough. The execution just wasn't good enough. There's no – I wish I had an excuse. We just have to be better.
Chris Gasper. Hey, Gerard. Jacoby did a great job most of the day of avoiding sacks, getting away from the rush. Before that blocked field goal, though, he took a sack and you guys lost 9 yards there. What did you see on that play? And was there any specific instruction, you know, to him in the headset for, hey, whatever you do here, make sure you don't take a sack?
We always try to talk about situational football. I'll go back and watch the film and have a better answer for you going forward. What I will say is in the first half, he made some plays by extending drives with his legs, which is encouraging to see. We just need to be more of a balanced offense, which that'll be the goal this week.
Coach, you mentioned situational football. There were two end-of-half situations where you guys weren't able to capitalize. What, from your perspective, was the reason that you weren't able to score on those possessions?
Just lack of execution. That's what it comes down to. And I'm not trying to sound like a broken record. It just comes down to lack of execution. I felt like we were in shape, but you know, as the game wore on, there were these little mental errors that ended up being big plays, and just got to do better.
Gerard, last time we spoke to you Friday, you said you wanted to see how Seattle would play you. They seemed to win this middle quarters, which would indicate some sort of adjustments. What adjustments, if any, did you see them make?
They were matching our big personnel with different groups. They were going base and they were going nickel and kind of just – they were just matching the personnel up, and they did a good job making adjustments faster than we did.
Two final questions.
Just curious, end of the first half, and you guys had the ball – you ended up running one, then taking some time off the clock, throwing a couple. Is there anything you would have done differently in that scenario to maybe try to prevent them from being able to drive the other way?
Yeah, I mean, look, like I said, I'm going to go back and watch the game. There were a lot of plays in the game, and I don't want to give you bad information.
Locker room's open. Dakota Randall, last question.
Gerard, I think just four targets for DeMario Douglas in the first two games. What do you guys need to do to get him more involved on offense?
We have to get him going. We have to scheme up some things for him. He's one of our most explosive players, and that's on us as coaches to put it together. Thanks.
Yeah, you know what? I forgot about that sack. That was one of the aforementioned plays that drew an expletive and allowed one at that from me with Joe Braverman as we were watching here at the studios today, Andy. I forgot about that sack. You know, one of the reasons why you have Jacoby Brissett starting, in addition to absorbing the punishment, the hits, the slings, the arrows, everything that is coming his way behind that porous offensive line, the cream cheese line in front of him there, is also to let Drake May learn, Drake May watch the game, but also, you know, have an accountability-laden, loss-preventative quarterback in there. And that was sort of one of those plays where I thought, geez, guy, I mean, just... is there no one you can, you know, what do they say, dirt it or, you know, chuck it at the feet of, you know, something mm-hmm. Brady used to do? Maybe there wasn't, and maybe that's one of the things Alex Van Pelt's going to have to worry about. I know Gerard Mayo said at the start of his presser there that the Patriots were going to have to work on trying to drive the ball downfield. Just
right.
Moving the ball, period, downfield anyway, aside from handing it to Gibson or Ramondre, would be wonderful. I just don't see how they're going to be able to do that if you've got a bunch of twos and threes at receiver, some rookie pass catchers who aren't getting open, if your offensive coordinator can't scheme them open, and as Mayo said there, it's a lack of execution, especially when it comes to the offensive line, how are they supposed to open up the passing game, Andy?
Great question.
I try to ask them.
That's why they make the big bucks, all of them. They all make pretty good money to make these decisions and figure these things out, whether it's the players, the coaches, the play callers. They all make good money to figure these out. We are just lowly paid media members who opine. But no, that's the problem. And it's part of the problem. We knew this passing game was going to be questionable at best, correct? I mean, we saw it in the spring. We saw on paper, then we saw on field. We saw limitations in the pass catchers in terms of consistency. And that's one of my reasons harping on DeMario Douglas. I thought he was the one guy who had a pretty consistent offseason. Other guys popped and failed. And, you know, ironically, Pop Douglas, the consistent guy, hasn't really popped to start the year. Mm-mm. But we knew the pass protection was going to be an issue, and that was going to make it challenging working with questionable talents at receiver. So you put, and we know the quarterback is who he is. They are who they are. That aspect of it. It's one of the reasons why there were a lot of predictions for struggles for this team. And the reality is you've run the ball well for 2 weeks. You put up another 185 today, 5.1 yards per carry. You even diversified. You got Antonio Gibson to get 96 yards, including a 45 yarder. But at some point, people are just going to say, we're not going to let you run. Now, Gerard has cockily said that we're going to run the ball. You got to stop us. At some point, people will sell out to stop you. Can you then take advantage of those opportunities in the passing game? Because so far, your passing game is, they're playing old school football to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have a passing game. It's 1940, and we're just going to run the ball down your throat.
They're playing your favorite band, Smash Mouth.
Yeah, and I love it. That's great. It's not sustainable. It's not and they're not good enough at it. It's not modern football. Like, you have to be able to compete in the passing game on both sides of the ball to win. I'm not saying you have to be great at pass defense and great at passing offense, but you have to be competitive and competent in those areas. And if you're not, it just makes you so one-dimensional. They stopped the run today and they ran the ball, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And they lost.
Correct.
And I think that could happen a lot. You could say, well, we stopped the run and we ran the ball and you lost. So if you're actually trying to win games, the passing game needs to become more productive, more competent, more advanced and diversified. And how that happens, what would you say you need to fix first? Is it the offensive line?
That would be priority one for me.
Okay. Because
by far, if I could just wave a magic wand, Andy, and all of a sudden a great player, a future draft pick, someone came out of retirement. I don't know. If I could just wave a magic wand and fix one area, one positional grouping on the Patriots right now, it would be offensive line, and also the offensive line.
Yeah, but then you'll get to the point where you'll be able to say, are any of these receivers good enough? And I think that's still a very fair question. None of them have really proven anything for New England or in the NFL. And then you'll get to the point with, is the quarterback good enough? Whichever quarterback is out there. Either Jacoby for now, is he good enough to take advantage? He's had, his career is what it is. Or Drake May, is he part? So you know, I would probably agree with you. Start with the line. Get that better. Because, you know, I think the line's even been a little bit overrated in run blocking. I think the running backs have done a nice job of making or maximizing or getting more than maximum effort out of some of the plays that, you know, I remember a couple of years ago when Belichick talked a lot about, you know, a play is blocked for a certain number of yards, and then what does the running back do beyond that? I thought last week and at times this week, the running backs maximized that to the nth degree. So, yeah, I would probably agree that if you could fix anything right now with a wand, the Harry Potter wand, boom, the offensive line, be better.
Checking in with a couple of texts on our way to commercial break here, 774. Every team that didn't have Alvin Kamara today didn't look good on offense, guys. 774. Come on, guys. They were one fumble away from winning that game. They played well. Other teams in the NFL are losing. By the way, I didn't hit my parlay today. Okay?
I'm sorry.
So sorry about your parlay.
I got knocked out of my knockout pool. So, it all sucks.
And here's an interesting one. 617. Field staff here. Okay, so an anonymous insider text. Can confirm Fox had their D squad today. Only two cameras and one handheld. One cameraman had to run to the tunnel to shoot the team exits the field. My gosh.
It was awful.
It was a ramshackle effort by Fox, to say the least. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. When we come back, we'll hear from your quarterback who is going to be in the tub and going to be feeling it for the next couple of days in anticipation of the Jets game. 7 o'clock segment, the final hour, the final half hour here on the Six Rings postgame show. Our too early, too soon, but maybe not too soon preview of Pat's Jets for Thursday night. Andy's thumbs up, thumbs down, and of course the Cars for Kids player of the game. This is the Six Rings postgame show live on WEEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I see what you did there. I hear what you did there, Braver. And I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. Clever boy. All right, Andy, we heard earlier, just a few minutes ago, from head coach Gerard Mayo in defeat, taking accountability, saying that plays need to be made. They have to coach better. Hopefully they'll learn from this. That's exactly what he should say. It was all of his second game as a professional football coach. Now let's hear from his quarterback, the hand-selected veteran Jacoby Brissett, who was unfortunately under fire, under duress, under a pile of people more often than not today. Tough one for old Jacoby, who definitely is going to need two or whatever and call me in the morning. Here are his post-game remarks following the overtime defeat at Gillette today against the Seahawks.
Several times in this one, how tough a game was that on you physically and mentally? How much did you learn from this one? You guys had some tight situations, three and outs, blocked field goal, everything else happened. What do you take from this? What do you learn from it?
Yeah, you know, it's at that point in the season where everything's a learning experience, obviously. You put yourself in position, hopefully, to make a couple more plays here and there throughout the game. I know we all going to go back and watch this film, and it's going to be a play here, a play there, you know, starting with myself. And, it's going to be, you know, good for us to go back and watch this film and learn from it. The hits are, I mean, it's part of football, so I'm used to that.
Jacoby, over here.
This right.
Right here.
Uh-oh.
It's been two games now without a lot of production to wide receivers. What do you think has been the issue there?
Yeah, I think we would like more in our passing game. You know, I got to do a better job of getting a lot of those guys involved in the game plan and throughout the game. So I take responsibility for that.
Jacoby, the third and one in overtime with the you got stuffed, but it was also the penalty. Can you just sort of explain the call there as you understood it and what happened there?
Yeah, so they called us for a legal man. He really didn't explain it to me. When we go back, I'll have to.
It was uncovered, I think. There was no receiver on that side.
Gotcha. Yeah, so that's a penalty. So.
All the way to the right again, Jacoby. Yeah, I just wanted to ask you, similar to Doug's question, just some of the play action plays today. It seemed like you guys wanted to push the ball down the field. It looked like they were playing a decent amount of two deep. Would you say that?
Yeah, for sure. Whatever their tail was, they had a good tail on us when we were trying to push the ball down the field. And, they did a good job. You know, had a good game plan as far as, you know, not letting us get behind them. You know, we tried to, but, you know, got to find ways to get on top of that and stay and continue to try to push the ball down the field and find different ways. But, yeah, I thought they did a good job of, you know, playing too deep a lot of the times when we're trying to take our shots.
Hey, Jacoby. Career day for Hunter Henry. You hit him for over 100 yards. Just what is that chemistry like with him, and, you know, how have you guys been getting along the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's growing. Obviously he wasn't towards the tail end of training camp. He wasn't out there as much, but getting him back into to the rhythm and the flow of the offense. And, he's a really good player. Had a bunch of, you know, good plays today, it's a lot of fun having him on my side of the ball, and I just look forward to progressing that relationship and chemistry and continuing to make more plays.
Nico Malik to your left.
Jacoby, going back to Hunter, a lot of those plays seemed like they were pretty late breaking and improvising. How much of was your connection to him as you drew it up in the playbook, and how much of it was just going out there and making a play?
I don't really remember every play of the game right now that he made, but I would say it was probably split. Obviously he was in the area that he was. I probably scrambled a little bit. He moved a couple times, but for the most part, I think it was pretty spot on.
Jacoby, when Antonio broke that long run, it was about 6 minutes to go, and you go backwards 5 yards, miss a field goal. You only had 11 yards offensively the rest of the game. How much of a missed opportunity to feel like you couldn't close it out?
Yeah, man, I think you answered it there. It's tough, man. You know, you get that big play, and, you know, you get all the momentum, and then now you're going the opposite way, you know. And, you know, it's in those critical situations, we've got to find a way to, you know, I think that was the, you know, the moment in the game where it's like, now we got to put them away. You know, they gave us the light, and we didn't take it this time, and you know, we just got to find a better way to, you know, to capitalize on those, especially when we get down there this late in the game versus a really good team. You know, they don't give you that many opportunities, so you got to take advantage of those.
Questions, Josh Brogan here.
Thanks. Jacoby, your ninth year in the league. This was the second game as head coach for both Jerod and across the way for Mike McDonald. What did you think about the way the two of them coached today, back and forth, in terms of the end of that game?
Yeah, I thought it was a good game, you know, going into overtime, you know, second game of the season, back and forth on both sides of the ball, playing good football on both sides of the ball, and in special teams, you know, I thought both of them did a good job. I mean, I don't know whether he was telling his team, but I thought Mayo did a good job, you know, getting us an opportunity, getting us a chance to, you know, to be in a game, to go make the plays to win. And, you know, obviously we came up short, but, you know, it's a great learning experience, you know, and we got a short week, so we got to, you know, put this one behind us fast and get ready to move forward. And that's kind of what he preaching to us right now. And, you know, it's just going to continue to get better.
Jacoby, can you tell me what you saw on the sack that you took right before the missed field goal? Around the 21, took the 9-yard sack.
Yeah, it was just a bad play by me. I was trying to get the ball out, and then I just didn't want to be careless with the ball and throw it in, and somebody strips at me from behind because I felt somebody come from behind. I was trying to get the ball out, and then it was just a bad play by me.
Okay, so appreciate the honesty there, the candor from Jacoby Brissett, who has been accountable at every stop and around every turn in his professional career, now twice with the Patriots. I'm looking currently, I just retweeted it, Andy, on the old at Fizzy GFY timeline. From Pat's Buzz, a screen cap from Next Gen Stats, Jacoby Brissett's passing chart today. I'll let you guess, of his 27 pass attempts, how many were further than 10 yards down the field?
Zero?
Three.
Three. More than I remember.
Well, it seems to be a theme.
Okay, three behind the line of scrimmage, 21 between 0 and 10 yards, and three beyond 10 yards.
Jiminy but Christmas.
He says, we just got to find, like, I appreciate, again, like I said, appreciate the man. I'm just asking honest questions here.
That's not even a high school passing attack.
No, it's not.
In 2024.
This is ridiculous. Like,
hear that, Terp?
Yeah.
No. Terps Womps threw the ball downfield more than that and unfortunately had
paid the price.
No, they actually had a couple drops. The game could have played out quite differently had that not been the case. Their quarterback had a nice arm and he was getting the ball down the field a little bit. So, no, that's my point. I watch high school football games and people think I think of high school football and they still think some of this, a lot of schools are, you know, the wing tee, the wishbone. There's a lot of schools that chuck the ball. I'm being dead serious. That is not high school caliber. There are more throws down the field beyond 10 yards in almost every high school game you'll go to in every city and every Friday night than you saw in the Patriots game today. 100%.
Yeah. When Jacoby Brissett says, you know, that's on me, just didn't want to make a bad play there. Okay. You didn't want to turn the ball over. Got you. But you made a really bad play there. You took a 9-yard sack that drove you back that much further, which set up a field goal that ultimately was blocked. Had you gotten positive yardage there, you may have been able to hold on and drive for a touchdown that wins the game. Those are the small plays when you have that narrow margin that cause winning or losing time. And when he says, we just, you know, I got to do a better job drive. Okay, you got to do a better job. Great. We all agree with you. How does that better job begin? What does the better job entail? Is it buying more time in the pocket? Is it looking downfield? Is it, changing receivers? I don't know. Pop Douglas has four targets through two games. I don't get it.
Ugh, four targets at four a position targets. Where I knew it wouldn't be heyday.
You should have targets a half, Andy.
Yeah, I thought you would be in the five-plus per game targets for him. I thought you'd be a 7 to 8 target per game kind of guy in this passing attack. So he should be at 16 targets, four times what he's had. I don't really have an answer as we, you know, closed out last segment, because I do think there's plenty of blame to go around. the coordinator, the offensive line, the quarterback, the wide receiver. And I think they all have reasons or explanations or excuses for their limitations in a way. Like, I acknowledge that. The mm-hmm. coordinator is coordinating his second game running an offense, mm-hmm. building his own offense. And he admitted in week one that there were some things that weren't, you know, up to his standards or what he wanted. So he tried to fix those in week two. The quarterback is a journeyman quarterback who we all knew doesn't make plays. He's not a playmaker. He's probably made more plays with his legs and short throws than we even expected over a couple games. But he is what he is. Mm-hmm. This offensive line is what it is. You have Verdarian Lowe starting at left tackle, and when he's not in there, then it really hits the fan early last week, late this week. So there are a lot of layers to this onion, and this onion is very, it does not taste good. Not a good onion. It's a rotten onion.
Yeah, no, it's been left out on the shelf for too long. As a matter of fact, there might even be a couple of tiny little flies around it. All right, when we come back, we'll clean up the rest of the calls. They do have a lot of work to do to clean up the line, the pass game, have the quarterback drive the ball downfield, but it's a very short week for them to try to do it. We'll give you a quick preview of Patriots at Jetropolitans Thursday night from DeathLife Stadium. Andy's thumbs up, thumbs down. Cars for Kids player of the game. What a jam-packed final segment it's going to be here on the Six Rings Postgame Show. Here comes the last 15 minutes of the Six Rings Postgame Show. We hope you enjoy it. Let's get to your calls. Okay. Allow me to have some fun. My joy was robbed when the Patriots fell apart in the fourth quarter and subsequently overtime. I'm trying to put a little back in before I have to ride home.
Fall apart?
Feels they strong. Kind of fell apart. Fell apartish?
Did not execute.
Execute. Didn't fulfill yeah. the mission. Yes.
I don't know. I mean, they embarrassing?
No.
Okay. So we need to remember. We need to remember where we are in week two. Where we were in May, June, July, August, that there were some predictions of really truly embarrassing performances. That
3-14, yeah.
No, I'm talking about like beyond that, like maybe Gerard Mayo is in over his head and they're not even going to be able to put out a professional football team. And I don't think we've seen that. They've made mistakes.
Yes.
They're expected to make mistakes. They're in their second week doing every job they are in, basically. And they don't have the most talent. They can't cruise. They're not. I've made the comparison. Joe Mazzulla's career would have been dramatically different if he didn't have the best team in the NBA. And this is not a shot at him. This is just the reality is he took over a team that was NBA Finals caliber. If he took over a young team with a star who might be feuding with, you know, we got ball movement issues because one guy thinks it, like, but no, and he still dealt with criticism, but it gets much more difficult the more layers you add to that. Oh, questionable talent, questionable roles, this, that. So I don't think they fell apart in this game, and I don't think they've fallen on their faces through 2 weeks. I think they've been competitive. I think they've been entertaining.
A competitive and representative effort. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So let's turn that frown upside down. They're 1-1. I never thought they'd be 1 in anything. So
there you
it's
go.
All gravy.
Would you rather be them or the Panthers?
You already know the answer to that question.
Okay.
Exactly.
See, that's a great, for the first time ever, that's a great question, Joe Braverman, that you just asked. Thank you for your contribution.
You see? 2.5 years.
You see, even when he finally pays you a compliment, he still has to make sure it's underhanded.
No, but they're even, how about in Tennessee, where if the internet reads lips correctly, the head football coach asked his quarterback,
what the F are you doing?
We don't have that going on, do we?
And it was very direct, too.
Yes.
It was legitimately like, no, seriously, what are you doing?
He hates his quarterback. He already said during the week, like, he basically threw him under the bus during the week for the crap he did last week when he was throwing the ball crazy. And
he cost him the game against the Bears and kind of cost him the game against the Jets today as well. Yes. By the way, Andy, 518 texter. They kind of nail it. I want to get to something else first before we clean up the calls, preview the game, and get out of here. When you only have 3 seconds before a defender is on the QB, the only option really is kind of a short dump-off pass. You can't throw downfield when you don't have time to let the receivers run their routes before the QB is being hit or flushed out of the pocket.
So throw to DeMario Douglas then.
Yes, and get DeMario in there. Like, yep. Get Gibson. Put your Michael Hasty back there. Dump-off, screens, flares, flicks, whatever. I don't care.
Don't do the flicks. I feel like flicks will end poorly. No flicks.
All right, no flicks. Fine. Flick free? No flicks. No flicks! All right, we got a couple calls.
I do think we're not making as big a deal. I just had to watch it again here in studio, the blocked field goal. Because that would have forced Seattle to have to go for a touchdown in the end, and that would have, you know, maybe they would have gotten it, maybe not, and it would have been 24-23 right. final. But that we're not making a – that sucked. That really
did. Yeah, it sucked. And there's no question, if you don't have a 9-yard sack, and now it's a 39-yard field goal.
He doesn't have to try to kick it as hard. Maybe,
right.
Maybe
it's a little higher. Everything
quicker.
Changes. Yeah. It's and he's been nailing 30-something yard field goals. That's what he did last week.
His sleep.
So I just – that sack is not ideal. I'm not putting the whole loss on that sack or on Jacoby Brissett.
That but, drop.
What? You're very dirty minded. You and Arcan.
Oh, like I'm the
I'm
only
you.
One. You. Oh, please. Good sir of the South Coast. All right, everyone, you get 30 seconds on the call. We're going to try to rapid fire through the final calls because we'd like to get to everyone. This is your show just as much as it is ours. Actually, it's even more for you, the good people of Pats Nation. Joe up in Nashua. What up?
Hi, gentlemen. I'll try to be quick.
There you go.
If this is who the Patriots really are, and they look like a pretty serviceable team, we know they've got plenty of cap space. Would you invest in this team, or do you think they're strictly going to build for the future regardless of what their record is?
I think they're going to do both, Joe. I think this offseason they're going to continue to – they'll probably have a reasonably high draft pick. They have $135, $140 million in cap space that's going to carry over from next year, from this year into next year as well. So I think they're going to do both. And obviously there is a significant deficit of talent where they need it most at receiver, although we don't really know yet because maybe the line issues and the QB play, which is affecting the QB play, is affecting the receivers. I'll harken back to that previous text.
Well, we do know that there's a deficit of talent at wide receiver.
Yeah.
Just watching the summer, you know, I can tell you there was nothing that was within, and this is not a fair comparison, I understand that, but elite talent was on the field when the Eagles came to town, A.J. Brown. That is what elite talent looks like, and you don't have anything right now that can sniff A.J. Brown, or a lot of other players, quite honestly, and that was part of it. If Javon Baker had come in here this summer and strung together like 25 straight days of great practices where you're like, dude is killing Gonzo, dude is making Jonathan Jones look old and inept, I'd feel better. But everybody was inconsistent. K.J. Osborne, slow starter, wasn't great. You know, Tyquan Thornton, oh, good start. Then he's not out there. Then he's not quite as good and impactful as he was the first 7 days. Like, none of them strung together anything that I'd want to hang my hat on.
Coach is in New Hampshire. What up? What's up, Coach?
Yes, if you happen to talk to the coaches, I'd be willing to design a middle screen for Pop Douglas, a tunnel screen for Jalen Polk, and a slip screen for any of the running backs. Secondly, Pop Warner Van Pelt, even with his weak offensive philosophy, they did put 20 points up, so I'm going to blame this loss solely on the defense. Your thoughts?
Well, special teams I would mix in there and overall execution. Yeah, I would not. You're like Keon White. That's what Keon White said. Offense did enough for us to win today. This is on the defense. I would add in special teams. So, yeah, we fixate on the offense because I think it's an offensive league, and that's part of it, and the talent. But the defense is supposed to be great, correct, Fitzy? Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be
the strength of the team.
Mina Kimes says it's a top five defense, and they could win games single-handedly with the defense. Well, did they do that today?
They did not, in fact, sir, no. When they needed them to get the flip the field and get the ball back, although they had to time and again, only gave up 3 points in the second half. All right, last call. Craig. Craig in Wakefield.
Craig.
Hey, guys.
Wakefield.
Hey. How you doing?
How are you?
Sorry, boys. I watch a lot of CFL, but the next thing is I got to talk to you guys. We got a chance to trade for Mahomes. We got to trade Gaucho. We got to trade Duggar. And the whole line. I mean, you got a chance to get him.
Craig.
Okay.
All right, Craig.
Craig, I
appreciate the fact that he got on the phone, and after the edible hit, he decided, now we got to trade Gaucho, Duggar, and the rest of the line for Mahomes.
Feel like the
seems
Andy
like a pretty
Reed
fair deal.
Chiefs. Yep, they'll take it.
Would definitely take it.
They want to go to the Carson Wentz era anyway. I feel like
it is at hand, my friend. All right, just a couple minutes left here in the postgame show, Andy. Let's talk about Thursday night. 8-something. It's maybe 15 or 20. I don't know. Braverman, don't hold me to it. You know, it's late. 8-0 something. We got Pats at the Jets, each team 1-1. The battle for second place in the AFC East, probably because Buffalo should win next week. You got the Jets, squeaked one out today on the road against Tennessee and a coach who hates their quarterback. You got the Patriots, who unfortunately just didn't have enough to finish the job today and get a sneaky second win on the season. Jets will have the home field advantage, obviously. The crowd will be behind them. Should be loud, should be energetic. I think the weather's going to be decent-ish. Chance for some sprinkles in the area, but that's okay. How do you see it playing out, Andy?
I think this is a tough spot. I think the Jets are a talented football team. Yeah. I think Aaron Rodgers, you know, is still a work in progress there, but
I mean, he's not great yet, and I don't think it's age. Something's just not clicking yet.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. But I think he'll probably be better Thursday than he was today. They got a win today, but certainly didn't dominate the Tennessee Titans by any measure. Breece Hall has not...
he hasn't gone off yet.
No. And remember, Belichick was gushing about him and gushing about Garrett Wilson.
He said that's the whole offense, and he's not wrong.
Yeah, and I don't think either of those guys have played to their level yet, if you expect them to be Pro Bowl or All-Pro caliber week in and week out. So that offense is still finding itself. That defense, I think, is still finding itself. I'm not a big Saleh guy. I have not been overly impressed with him. But he has the more talented team that is at home on a short week. And this is going to be a challenge for these coaches and players. We just talked about all the new guys, new roles, new things, and firsts and kind of getting Alex Van Pelt. Oh, week two, I need more plays on my sheet. Well, Alex Van Pelt and DeMarcus Covington and Jerod Mayo need to coach up a team in a hurry that is going to have some bangs and bruises, that is losing offensive linemen to injury and or retirement along the way. So its biggest weakness, you got to figure that out to get better or good enough on the fly. I think it's a really tough spot, quite honestly.
Get used to the mantra, all gas, no break.
Yeah. Get the hell out of here, Mr. Receipts. Isn't he the same guy that was keeping receipts on something? What was
that, Robert Saleh? Bobby Saleh?
Yeah.
Yeah, eight kids?
Does he have eight kids?
I think he's got eight kids. I think he's forfeits away to a Philip Rivers.
Damn.
I know. How does anyone get anything done? I have two kids. I can barely get anything done.
Well, he's never.
We're all taking receipts on all the people who continually mock and say that we ain't going to do anything. I'm taking receipts.
Okay.
No, keep receipts. You don't take receipts first.
And are you keeping them? Because you're kind of underachieving right now. You definitely sucked last year. You proved you couldn't win without Aaron Rodgers. Desperate move there. So what are you doing this year?
I listened to a podcast the other day where Mike Lombardi was just trolling the hell out of Nate Hackett's offensive scheme.
Well, and that's the issue, is Hackett, most people don't think, is a great offensive coach, but he's Rodgers' guy, and they have the history and the relative success in Green Bay to fall back on, but they should be better than the offense they're putting forth. You can't say that about the Patriots right now. They shouldn't necessarily be better because their talent really isn't that good. But if Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are as good as they're supposed to be, well, why are they not exactly playing up to their standards? So, but the Patriots defense just gave up 300 yards to Geno Smith and a couple hundred yard receivers. What's your plan for Garrett Wilson, would you say? And are you going to test Christian Gonzalez, the best corner in football, from what I'm hearing, in a matchup with Garrett Wilson? Long story short, this is a really tough spot. It's a tough talent matchup for me. They got some size on that defensive front. I also wonder, how's Ramondre Stevenson going to feel on Thursday night football after back-to-back games with decent amount of banging, amount of touches?
Decent amount of banging, huh? 508, texter, how about Gibson on the wheel route instead of Stevenson? Maybe we'll have to see a little bit more Antonio Gibson or Jermichael.
Sure.
617 texter, I have six kids and life is mental. Three in college, so I'm broke as well. That makes sense. All right, Andy, we got 3 minutes left. You get 1 minute for thumbs up, 1 minute for thumbs down, then I got to do the Cars for Kids player of the game and punch it chewy. So,
okay.
Andy, thumbs up.
So, thumbs up. I'm going to start with the ground game, Ramondre Stevenson, Antonio Gibson. I thought they made plays, big plays that could have put the game away. They are the foundation of the offense, and they continue to be the foundation of the offense today. Hunter Henry, 100-yard game, 8 catches. Now, it kind of faded in the second half because I think he had like 7 in the first half. But he was the go-to guy for Jacoby Brissett, who doesn't really have many go-to guys. We knew Hunter Henry had a nice summer before he got banged up. Keon White obviously gets some credit for getting to the quarterback a couple more times. His start to the season, need more guys getting to the quarterback more consistently. I like Jelani Tavai. Didn't put up numbers, but he had to step up when Bentley went down, and I appreciate that as a middle linebacker. So there's some stuff there. Downside, let's go with the wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Let's go with the pass protection. These are general things, not individuals, because they were so bad I couldn't pick one person out. And then I got to go with the field goal operation. You got to kick blocked. And yeah. 48 yards is not a bomb in the NFL.
Nope.
It's further, but it's not a bomb. It's a very makeable kick. And there was a lot of sort of not even really penetration, more jumping penetration, and then a low kick, and it gets blocked. And that may have been the difference in the game. And, the pass protection for the offensive line stunk.
Yeah, Mike Onwenu, boy, I don't want to try to name names individually, but boy, oh boy, when you get $19 million a year, yeah, we'd have to look for and hope for a little bit better than that big guy.
Maybe he is a guard.
Maybe he is a guard indeed. All right, Andy, just a minute left here on the postgame show. Time now for the Cars for Kids player of the game. Cars for Kids, it's the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with AK. I'm going to give it once again to Keon White. Two sacks.
Oh, boo.
Why? What, Hunter Henry?
I was going to go Hunter Henry because I like him.
All right, you know what? Fine.
And my old rule where I say if X player did their job like everybody, like if everybody did their job as well as Hunter Henry did,
yep,
this would be a good offensive football team.
Sure would.
So Hunter Henry, 100-yard game, I think only the second of his career. First Patriots 100-yard receiver since, I don't know, the Obama administration or something.
It's been a minute.
Hunter Henry, and a nice man who's had a good attitude this summer as re-signing with a team that is definitely in a transitional phase.
Let's hope we can get more of that sometime sooner rather than later. All right, folks, that has been your Six Rings postgame show following a hard-fought but unfortunate 23-20 defeat at the hands of the Seahawks at the home opener at Gillette. Good job, Braverman, as always, behind the glass, making it happen. Andy, doing your thing, always appreciated as well. Hart and I will be back with you Thursday evening following the conclusion of Pats at Jets on Amazon Prime Video. We look forward to talking to you then. Tomorrow, it's a Patriots Monday here on WEEI. Don't miss a minute of it. Good night from Brighton and everywhere else in Pats Nation. Sleep well, ye princes of however that expression goes. I'm tired. Goodbye.
See ya.